Welcome. My name is Cindy Wright, and I'm the Program Manager for the Child Neurology Foundation. And today's talk is part of an ongoing series we're putting on for families of children with neurologic conditions to discuss some of the things we're experiencing during COVID-19. These sessions are bringing together families and health professionals to have candid conversations and provide their expert advice. So today we have Issa DeWoody and Eileen Devine. And with that, I would like you guys to introduce yourself.
Thank you. And thank you to Child Neurology for putting on these programs for families. Really, really very helpful. My name is Issa, and I am a mother of three daughters. And my youngest one, Marie, has a neurological disorder. She's a rare syndrome called Ring 14, and it's complicated. There's a lot of intractable epilepsy. There's intellectual disabilities. There's we've gone in and out with behavioral problems depending on meds and where she is and her seizures and all of that good stuff. But it's a scary time right now with kids who have all these problems, who are at high risk and who have pulmonary problems, repeated pneumonias. So I am really excited about how we can manage this really kind of unique situation that we find ourselves in. And I'm very happy to be talking with Eileen, really an expert at kind of managing these fears and counseling parents and how to manage their lives in nice ways. So Eileen, can you introduce yourself, please?
Sure, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Eileen Devine, and I am a therapist. I live in Portland, Oregon, but I work with parents all over the world, actually, who have kids who have neurobehavioral challenges. So their brain works differently for some reason than what we would consider neurotypical in our society, and they have very, very challenging behavioral symptoms as a result. So I only work with the parents, and my whole role is to help them understand their child from this brain-based perspective and lens so that they can parent them differently in the ways that they require and to support them on their journey, because oftentimes we're so focused on finding those things for our kids that we don't focus enough on ourselves and our own well-being and get the support that we need. So in addition to doing that professional work, I'm also the parent of a child who has significant neurobehavioral challenges. My daughter Maya is 11. And then I also have what we'd consider a neurotypical child, a son Connell, and he's 12. So they're 15 months apart. And the reason I have my headphones is because, like many of you, my kids are home with me right now. So keeping this in, so you only hear me. Yeah.
So I'm really happy to talk to you, and I'm happy that you mentioned that we all have kind of different hats to wear. You're a parent also, and you're a counselor. I also run a nonprofit for our foundation, so I'm the president of Ring 14 International and also Ring 14 USA built in the States. And I also have other daughters also, so we all have this whole family that we're trying to manage. So I wonder if you could just speak into why self-care is so important right now in this situation that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, sure. So I know that we've probably all read a lot and heard a lot about self-care. And I want to be really clear that when we're talking about our particular unique parenting experience, I'm not at all referring to things like make sure you still have your date night or get that bubble bath in or those sorts of things. Because if you were already, if you're able to do those things, I'm sure you're already doing them. What I'm talking about when I think of self-care, especially during this time, is making sure that we have the resilience that we need to really endure this situation and all that it brings to us, all the upheaval and the change, and also what we know, at least now, how long it might go on. So make sure that we're doing things in the moment to be prepared as possible to stay the course for the length of this, whatever that might be. So when we think about this experience that we're all in right now, It's a very unique experience in a lot of different ways. I think we know that. But one of the things when we talk about self-care and why we need to have that intensified and really focused more than usual on it is because when we have this collective community trauma happening, where everyone around us is experiencing some level of upheaval and trauma in one way or another, then it takes away some of the ways that we might have practiced self-care before. So some of the ways that we might have gotten respite, some of the people that we might have confided in to kind of get that relief, fill our bucket back up, they are also experiencing stress, so they may not have the capacity to do that. And so understanding that this level of stress, this particular kind of stress, is even more harsh on our nervous system than the level of stress that we are all used to managing every single day. And so the level of self-care that we provide ourselves really needs to match the intensity of the situation for what it is.
And so you say that, and yet our resources on how we can do that in kind of this isolated time, it's almost like they're contradictory. It's hard to manage. And so as I look on social media and everything, I see a lot of advice about, you know, gratitude and, you know, a feeling counter blessings type thing. And I can appreciate all of these sentiments kind of in theory, but it feels a little, I don't know, like it's minimizing some of the real struggles that our families are going through, where they are alone and they may be dealing with really stressful medical conditions, but also behavioral issues, and they find themselves having to do this just within their family unit. So right. Can you speak into that?
Yeah, so, and I think that that's a very human response. So I think of it, like parents that I've met with in the last few weeks through my practice has said, it sounds so tone deaf, right? Or they find themselves experiencing such a level of resentment when they see, for example, on social media, a friend saying, this is so hard, when they have a very typical parenting experience and now their kids are home and they're struggling just with that, those basic changes, right? What we would think of as pretty basic changes, and not recognizing that their suggestions, that we practice gratitude, that we look for the silver lining, that we use this time to just slow down and spend more time with our families and dig into those hobbies that we've wanted to start for so long.
Yeah. Learn a language, paint a picture. Yeah.
Right. But all of those suggestions, none of them are bad. Like It would be wonderful if everybody in this time had the capacity to do those things. There's no doubt that that would put somebody in a better place mentally. But making those comments, just kind of out there for everyone to consume, is coming from a place of privilege, right? And so I remind the parents that I'm talking to, they are saying that from a place of privilege. We all have places of privilege that we come to depending on our background and who we are. This is one place of privilege that we do not have the same privileges as other people. And so to understand that context, and for as well as they can, to try to distance themselves from those comments and understand that they're not going to be helpful to them we have limited energy right now, and to spend our energy trying to figure out how that applies to us is probably not a good use of this energy.
Yes. But at the same time, I think it does make sense to kind of celebrate minor victories that you're having in your household, and, you know, anything that's working to pause and say, well, okay, that was a win. I'll take it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That practice of gratitude is absolutely a wonderful one, that if you have the capacity to do that, given your circumstances, wonderful. Like it is going to have you end up in a better place. And also, if you don't have the capacity right now, to know that your nervous system needs to rest and needs to heal so that you can then enter back into this new normal, maybe with the energy level or the stamina where you can then begin to put those practices in place.
Yes, perfect. So, you know, along with that, there's a lot of advice out there on social media about how to cope, and some of it, you know, some of it's quite funny. I think it's been said that we're going to kind of meme and GIF our way through this crisis, but not all of it's great advice. The day drinking and it comes. It's funny, but at the same time, I think that we have to really learn ways to self check ourselves and make sure that we're dealing with things in healthy ways. Yeah. So I wonder if you could give us just a couple of ways that we can manage this situation with really healthy coping skills.
Yeah. So I would first start with, what have you done before that you know helps you stay of solid mind, spirit, health? And are those things still happening? And I understand maybe the capacity for doing those things has diminished. I understand that intimately. And also, I do believe that there are ways that we can continue to have those things be part of our day and our routine. If you have a parenting partner and you can work with them and getting very concrete and specific about it. Because I think what happens when we don't have those normal markers in our day, like kids go off to school, kids come home from school, then I have dinner, that sorts of thing, that one day can just kind of run into the other. And before we know it, that walk that we used to take every morning, it just hasn't happened for days. So making sure that those things that you know keep you well, try to fit them in. Maybe you can't do it at the frequency that you did before, but making that a priority, because the health of your family and your partnership, if you're in one, and not to mention just your own mental health, literally depends on you doing those things. Oh, I was going to say, if you haven't had that in your life, now is a great time to take even the smallest steps. They really do make a difference. So sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater and we say, oh, I can't go for that half hour walk, so I'm just not going to do it. When really getting outside of our home environment, especially given our circumstances now, going for a walk in the fresh air for 5 minutes will help you let your nervous system calm, reset, and heal. And if you do that several times a day, if you get to that point where you can build up to that, it will make a difference. And so focusing on, I'd say, the big three, movement or exercise, whatever you like to call it, there is no better way to work stress out of our nervous system than by moving, getting it out. Sleep, and making sure that we're really, really prioritizing sleep. These are exhausting days. We're more tired, mentally fatigued. That stress that sits on us all day causes a lot of fatigue. So prioritizing that. And then eating well. And I understand that even has its challenges right now too, right? With not wanting to go to the store and that sort of thing. So doing the best you can, but making sure that those three, that you're focused on those at least a little bit each day so that you can really keep your own health front and center.
I really appreciate what you said about scheduling, because I am not a list person. I am, you know what I mean? In my normal routine, I'm pretty fluid. And in fact, I kind of like that spontaneity, but things just don't happen in this environment if they're not scheduled, if I'm not accommodating my husband's schedule and everything. So that real push to make it a priority and block it off, 10 o'clock, I need a break, making sure everybody's on board.
That's right.
But what about all these people who are kind of doing this alone? So can you mm-hmm. say something that might be of value to our single parents out there who really don't have the luxury of bringing in a partner and getting a little bit of a break from that? How are they going to deal with this?
Yeah. So at first, just acknowledging that is an incredibly difficult position to be in, above and beyond what everybody else is experiencing right now. And there's no magical solutions to that. There's no magical solutions to any of this. But especially in that situation, everything's going to be the difficulties and the challenges with implementing self-care practices, for example, is going to be really harder. So with all of that acknowledged and said, I still want folks listening to really hear it when I say that when we look at what happens to our bodies under stress and prolonged stress, which our body was not meant to endure, stress in doses is actually good for our adrenaline system. Our body is very capable of responding to that. But when we have this constant stress that is everywhere around us, at home, at work, with our extended family, with our friends, that absolutely has this impact on your nervous system. And so we have a lot of research that shows us that. What the research also shows us is that there are small things that you can do that will help you build this foundation to become more resilient. And so that resilience is what we need to basically stay this course under this level of stress for who knows how long. And so things like being able to spend a few minutes in your room with your door closed and taking some deep breaths, if that's something that calms you down, doing a 5-minute meditation in the morning. Doesn't have to be more than 5 minutes. Wonderful if you have more than that, but even that will provide your nervous system a chance to rest and reset so that you can go into the day of better mental health, spiritual health, physical health. So looking for those moments of time where you can consciously focus on resetting your body and relaxing and whatever that might mean for you. Going out into the sunshine if you're blessed with beautiful weather right now, and just sitting there with your eyes closed and feeling the sun on your face. So I know when I say that, I completely understand the reaction of saying, oh, really, that's really going to help me. when we're under a lot of stress and it seems like there is no end in sight, that is a very normal reaction. And also it takes a leap of faith. Therefore, it takes a leap of faith, right? To believe that dedicating ourselves to these small practices during the day will make a difference. So it's not just my idea or my opinion. We have research that shows us that. And so that would be a starting place for anyone who feels overwhelmed by this idea, or if you are in a place of being a single parent and just don't have the time.
Yeah, I can remember many times where I had to make sure that my daughter was in a safe place and shut that door. And just actually being right on the other side of the door and leaned up against it and just going, okay, I need to regroup. I need to collect my thoughts. And the thing about these practices is that they're practices, and it's like a muscle, you know, like kindness is a muscle and resilience. And these little bitty things are building this up, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, you're making patterns and
muscle memory. Yep.
Yes. It's so important.
Absolutely.
So I can imagine that there are going to be times during this for certain people where they may feel like they're at the tipping point, where they are just right on the edge and holding on. And so I wonder if you can say something about something to those parents that might get them through that moment, or some kind of resource when you really feel like you're kind of at your breaking point. So I can acknowledge that those moments may happen, and we have to anticipate them and have a plan.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of it too. I mean, I would say even for those of you listening who aren't at that point, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that you might be there at some point. If you feel that pressure building and you start to feel that anxiety and panic about how am I going to do this much longer, that having that plan in place is really important. So again, understanding that our support system may be limited in some ways compared to usual because of the social distancing or isolation. But even if that is the case, my first question would be, have you reached out to those individuals who you would normally call on for support and let them know how you're doing? Do they understand the gravity of this situation for you, that it's not just a typical parenting experience, the normal stress that they or people around them are experiencing, that there's this other dimension to it and that you need support? Because I think a lot of times, especially when others are kind of consumed in their own situation, like so many of us are, that they just need a little tap on the shoulder, and we need to be really upfront and transparent with them about our needs. And then they're willing to help, right? They create that capacity to help us. But if we don't do that, then it may not occur to them, even though it's so obvious to us, they may not know, right? The other thing that I would encourage folks to do is that if you have, again, people in your life, like a therapist that you saw at one point or that you're seeing, to not let that drop off. I know that especially with the clients that I've worked with, that they've had to figure out their new normal and say, I can't meet right now. I've got to figure this out for my family. And now they've come back and it's like this anchor that they have to be able to reset and have that time, right? So getting through a crisis period, that can be incredibly helpful too. And there's a lot of resources out there, even if you didn't have a therapist before, a lot of people doing telehealth kind of as though we're doing it right now, meeting with people where they're at in their homes so that maybe you can have your child preoccupied for a short amount of time so that you can get that support that you need.
Yeah. So those are a lot of great points right there. The one that I think I'm going to touch on a little bit more is this idea that, first of all, somebody has to, it's hard to share what you're going on, what's really going on in your life with a large group of people. It feels too much to share. But the fact that you have to have some people in your life that you can just be really honest with, who really know kind of the full scope of what that looks like in your life. And a lot of that comes from these parent support groups, which are really helpful right now to talk to other parents. We don't have to explain and they're going through exactly what you are. So I wonder if you can talk about different strategies right now when our community feels like it's kind of shrunk just by this isolation. How do we engage community and keep those connections that we've fought so hard to keep healthy? How do we keep those alive right now during this period?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I do think, I sometimes have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. We talked about the hate part about the social pressure and the ideals that come through there, and then you can easily get wrapped up in that. But the love part comes from community and being able to keep in touch with groups of people who perhaps share your lived experience during this time. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful opportunity if those groups are set up in a way where they are there to lift you up and help you get out of maybe that dark spot when you need that. The other piece about reaching out to those others that we've had connections with, I think it's really easy, again, with all of us being so distracted and consumed by this upheaval in our lives and trying to kind of get our footing, to make that isolation greater by not reaching out to the folks that we had regular contact with. And so even if it is committing to once a day, I'm going to reach out to one person in my family or one friend just to have that voice, right? Or setting up opportunities over Zoom or Google Hangout where you have a group of people who come together and talk, a group of friends perhaps that you had to hang out if you can't see them in person. But we are all wired for connection. It's a biological imperative for all of us. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert, introvert. It just may look different depending on those factors. But we all need each other. We were never meant to go this alone. And now more than ever, we need to be focusing on making sure that those connections are intact and continue.
Yeah, I have my older daughters right now are off at college, and they've chosen not to come home this spring out of fear of introducing something into our household that might be really dangerous for their little sister, Marie. And so I find this is both stressful for them to be away from us for such a long time. And it's stressful for me to, especially with this holiday coming up, like this is not what we all envisioned. And so we find ourselves on FaceTime a lot together. And not even like cooking dinner just with the phone propped up. You know what I mean? Where it's not like you have to think of this is what's new in my life, because there's not much new in my life. Yesterday looked very much like today, but we're still sharing some kind of relationship with one another. So did you have?
No.
I felt like I could.
I was just saying, yes, I understand.
It's good. And happy hours over Zoom and all kinds of good stuff are popping up. So technology, you can really utilize technology right now.
Yeah. Well, and it just takes one person to get it started too, right?
Really,
I think oftentimes we may sit back and say, oh, everyone must be so busy. I don't, you know, want to bother. But everybody is looking for connection just like you are. So it just takes one person to organize it and get it going.
Absolutely. So another thing that I want to talk about right now is this idea of what success looks like during this time period. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us are trying to not only take care of our fragile children, but we're also trying to perhaps homeschool other children. Some of us have jobs that still have to be managed during all of this. And so this idea that we've got all this free time on our hands seems like, where is that free time? Because I don't see it. This seems to be so busy. So can you talk a little bit about all of these expectations to where to be successful at all of this stuff all at once? It seems completely overwhelming right now.
Oh, it is overwhelming. And so I would say that is the number one conversation I've been having with parents this week in the groups that I facilitate and also the one-on-one work I do. And I think it's really easy to step into this situation, especially when it seemingly happened overnight, and just have this established thought that we should be able to do everything that we were doing before. And I think when we step back to think about that, we understand that that's ridiculous. But sometimes we have a hard time giving ourselves the grace that we're needed and the permission to reduce those expectations. So a few things about that. One is, I do not believe that at the end of all of this, that our measure of success will be, did our kids keep up their skills in math or reading or OT or PT or whatever it might be. I truly don't believe that. I think what our measure of success as a society, as family units, will be, did we come out of this as an intact, connected family unit? Is our marriage or our partnership intact? Am I still of sound mental health and spiritual health and emotional health, right? So my suggestion, my strong encouragement would be for parents to figure out, with that framework in mind, that priority in mind, what's going to help my family survive this, and not just survive it, but come out maybe even a stronger place than they were before. What's going to get us there? And in most cases, that's not going to be school at home being the number one focus. So the other piece that I would encourage folks to think about is the reality, and it is a reality, and many of the parents that I work with who homeschool their kids have said this over and over again to me, you cannot bring school home. It does not work. They're two completely different environments. And many of the parents that I'm working with are trying to replicate school in their home. The same intensity, the same subjects, the same specials. It's like, you can't do that. You really can't do that. And so when we talk about expectations and needing to adjust those during this time, absolutely it needs to happen, and it needs to happen on a frequent basis. So not just looking at today and saying, okay, this is where my threshold is in terms of my stamina, my mental energy, my time. And so this is going to be the priorities for this day or this week. It has to be, that reevaluation process has to happen over and over again throughout this time, because we don't know when this might end. And over time, we may need to adjust our expectations continuously. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is a stressful situation that requires us to do that. And so things like, is my priority first to get my kids active movement in the day? Okay, then I'm going to focus on that every day this week. And then maybe if we have time, we'll do our reading. And maybe if we have time after that, we'll do whatever it might be, right? So making sure that you're really clear on where your energy is going to be spent and lowering the expectations in all other areas. The other piece is like around screen time, for example. Understanding that I pride myself on the amount of limits I have on screen time for my kids. I've had to make major adjustments in that for this time. And that's for my own mental health. It's for the health of my husband, who's, you know, working a lot with them on their schoolwork. We just have to let some of that go for now. We will come back to it. It's not gone forever, but I've allowed myself to relax that. I think the other thing that's important to understand is that, for example, with my daughter who has neurobehavioral challenges, because of the way her brain works, this change in schedule, that not seeing her teachers, not having her routine, is very, very hard for her. And although we've provided her with a lot of support in getting a new schedule in place, she continues to struggle. And so things that she was able to do before independently, she's not able to do right now. She doesn't have the capacity to do that because of the amount of stress that she's under. So we've adjusted those expectations, right? I now am brushing her teeth for her at night. I'm helping her get dressed in the morning and in the evening. And those things, she hasn't needed help with those things for years now, right? But she does now. She literally is not able to do them. So knowing that I have to adjust my expectations too, because our kids are struggling more than usual. So again,
and then because it's temporary, you're going to get back to where, you know, it may take a while, but
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not forever and always, it's for now. Mm-hmm. And that, again, I believe that the, getting through this, not just surviving, but actually thriving and feeling like we have some good days is dependent on making those changes. So please, parents out there, give yourself some grace, self-compassion, allow yourself to let things go where you can. Because I think you'll see that you'll end up in a much better place because of it.
Listen, we're running out of time, but I do want to address one other thing before we go. And that is this idea of fear and anxiety. Okay, so I realize that by and large, children are not supposed to be at risk for this, for a severe illness from COVID. But the fact that our children are not neurotypical puts them at a higher risk. And I can say for my daughter, in particular, who has just had repeated pneumonias, okay? Mm-hmm. This idea of fear around this virus, it is very tangible in my household, and not everybody gets that. And so I've told a good friend of mine that I'm trying to live in peace with the situation, but it's with spikes of real panic that I'm getting through this. So what do you have to say about managing this fear and really realizing that for some of us, this is a real, this isn't blowing something out of proportion.
Right.
This is actual fear for the health of our children right now.
Yep. So I think acknowledging that is a real fear, there are things that you can do to protect against that. And then there are some unknowns that you just don't know. And to acknowledge that, to say, yes, there's these unknowns that I wish I had answers to, I don't. And so I'm going to shift my attention back to what I do have control over. Because that future tripping, what's going to happen, in getting caught up in that, I think, again, drains us of our precious energy that we do not have. Now, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. I think it might be multiple times throughout the day, recognizing, okay, I'm starting to feel anxious about this. I can tell that I'm starting to feel increased panic about this. Do I have control over it or not? And what pieces that I have control over, am I addressing it? Am I doing what I can? Okay. I am doing what I can, right? And keep coming back to that over and over. I think where anxiety can get out of control, out of our control, and really start to snowball and own us in ways that it's really hard to then break free of, is if we don't recognize what's happening and we're not able to constantly question it and take that step back and do that evaluation process. So again, I'm not suggesting that that's an easy process. It also has a layer of energy that it requires, but you'll end up in a much better place than if you just let that consume you and then it owns you and you end up in a place that's really hard to break free from.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that whole idea of naming the fear, if you can name it, then you can kind of address it in a healthy way. We could talk forever, but I think our time is almost up. But do you have any last comments or suggestions?
I think we covered a lot of ground. My only comment would be to the parents out there that I, and along with a lot of others who understand your struggle, are thinking about you during this time. I know that my parenting from this neurobehavioral perspective that I teach has been solid for many, many years. And I've been challenged in the last 3 weeks in ways that I've not been challenged for years. Yeah. In terms of holding on to that that mindset, right? So I understand that struggle, and we're thinking about you. You're not alone.
You're not alone, and show yourself grace and reach out to other people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eileen and Nisa. I really appreciate your expertise and your honesty, and I know it'll really help our families. So this concludes the conversation for today, but if you need additional resources, we encourage you to visit the Child Neurology Foundation's COVID-19 resource page, which you can find at www.childneurologyfoundation.org/COVID-19. Together, we will get through this, and together, we are Child Neurology. Thank you.